thank the Lord for. His faithfulness to me. And I thank the Lord that I'm still saved. Trials that we go through on a day-to-day basis, week-to-week, all of us have been through them. Probably some have been more severe than others this week. And all we can say in our mind is, if mine isn't so severe this week, then wait a few weeks. And it may switch up. The other person's maybe not be so severe. Mine is. He is. But through it all, the Lord is faithful to you, and He's faithful to me. He's concerned about everything that concerns us. And He is faithful and just to take us through the trials. He didn't promise us an easy time. What He promised us is victory in the midst of it. And we can go through it without failing the Lord and without falling. I thank the Lord for that. I want us to turn to, if you will, turn with me to the 10th chapter of Luke. I want to begin to read at the 25th verse, very familiar text of Scripture. I'd like for you to read that, please, starting 25. Behold,
a certain lawyer stood up
and tempted him, saying, Master, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? So the question was not a serious question. He was tempting the Lord, just a kind of, you know, a lawyer, somebody that can argue the point, somebody that has some understanding, has a little bit of background. And so he wanted to present it to the Lord and just kind of catch him in a place, in a point that he can argue with. So he says, what must I do to inherit eternal life?
He said unto him,
what is written in the law? How do you read that?
And he answered and said,
Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy strength, with all thy mind, and thy neighbor as thyself.
And he said unto him,
Thou hast answered right, this do, and thou shalt live. So the Lord gave this lawyer a very simple answer. Actually, the lawyer gave it himself. He said, what does the Scripture say? What does the Scripture say you're supposed to do? So this man had some knowledge of the Scripture, and he knew what the Scripture required of him and required of us. And so the Lord said, all right, you do that. You've answered the question yourself. You knew it to begin with. Now, here is the argument that the man is making here.
But he
willing to justify himself, said unto Jesus, and who is my neighbor? And Jesus answering said, a certain man went down from Jerusalem to Jericho, and he fell among thieves, which stripped him of his raiment, wounded him, and departed, leaving him half dead. And by chance, there came down a certain priest that way, and when he had saw him, he passed by on the other side. And likewise a Levite, when he was at the place, came and looked into him, and passed by him on the other side. But a certain Samaritan, as he journeyed, came where he was, and when he saw him, he had compassion on him. And this is what I want to talk about today, is compassion. This man had compassion on him, all right? And went to him, and bound up his wounds, pouring in oil and wine, and set him on his own beast, and brought him to an inn, and took care of him. And on the morrow, when he departed, he took out 2 pence, and gave them to the host, and said unto him, take care of him, and whatsoever thou spendest more, when I come again, I will repay thee. Which now of these 3 thinkest thou was neighbor unto him that fell among thieves? And he said, he that showed mercy on him. Then said Jesus unto him, go and do thou likewise. So here is a parable of the Good Samaritan. We've all heard that parable. We know it, no doubt, by heart. And we see that the Lord is giving some instruction here through what he saw. A man that fell among thieves, and somebody robbed him and beat him and mercilessly left him on the side of the road for dead. And then here comes a priest, a man that was supposed to be a man of God, a person that is supposed to have connection with the Lord, and he passed by on the other side. Then there a Levite, one that works in the temple, that waits on the Lord. He passes by on the other side, and a Samaritan. He comes by, he sees him, and he has empathy, and he has sympathy and pity on this individual, and he has compassion on him. He picks him up, he dresses his wound, he takes him on his own animal, takes him to the inn, and takes care of him. What I want to talk about, and what I think is very necessary in our generation, not only in our generation, but for us as people of God, there is a need for compassion. One of the things that we lack in today's society is compassion, empathy for our fellow man. We hear about so many bad things. We see so many people that are in trouble and so many people that are in need that if we're not careful, our heart grows hard. We look at the situation and we're just not moved by it. We're not moved by somebody else that is in a pitiful state or that is suffering in some kind of way. What we're concerned about is me. I want to make certain that I'm not the one that's suffering. I want to make certain that I'm not in a place that I need help. So I'm going to take care of number one. But the Lord wants His people, those of us that are calling the name of the Lord, He wants us to have compassion on those that are without. He wants us to empathize, to have the ability to feel another person's pain, to identify with whatever that person may be suffering, to have pity on them rather than saying, listen, I'm not so concerned about them, I'm concerned about me. May the Lord help us to have compassion one on another. Help us to have compassion on this lost and dying world. This is how we go out and reach the lost. When we see people that are in a bad situation and bad circumstances, may the Lord help us to have compassion on them. There may not be a whole lot that we can do. But what does the scripture say? It says in one place, it says, pure religion and undefiled before God is this, that we visit the fatherless and widows in their affliction and to keep ourselves undefiled from the world. What does that mean? That means that those individuals that are less fortunate than we are, that we're to have compassion on them, we're to reach out to them, we're to do whatever it is that we possibly can to ease their suffering and to help them in any way that we can. Lord, help us to do that. All right. It's a vital component of the gospel. It is how we win the lost. If we don't have compassion on people that are in terrible states, we've seen people that are bound. We've seen people that are in situations and circumstances that if I were in that place, I would want somebody praying for me. And so, Lord, help me to have a kind of compassion when we get a prayer request, when we hear somebody that is suffering and in pain. Lord, can I be touched by that? Can I have the compassion that I need to reach out and to do what I can to change the circumstances? I think this is something that the Lord wants us to examine our own lives and examine our own situations and circumstances, our own selves, how our own responses. Lord, help me to be able to respond in the way that I need to. All right, let's go to Mark, the first chapter. And I want to read the 40th verse. Mark 1, verse 40.
And there came a leper to him.
Beseeching him. Yes.
And saying unto him,
If thou wilt,
thou canst make me clean.
You can make me clean. If you will, Lord. He's talking to the Lord. Lord, if you will, this leper, this is a person. In one sense, leprosy is a type of sin. And it is a type of sin. It works in the same way that sin works on an individual. Sin is not just something, you can't just do one sin and be okay. It is progressive. It is destroying. It's going to affect you in more than just one way. There are a lot of folks that wish, if I could just sin and do this one sin, I'd be all right. But we've all had experiences that sin takes us farther than we want to go. All of us have. And we've done things that we didn't want to do. But by the help and the grace of God, the Lord can make us clean, can He? All right? Read, please.
And Jesus
was moved with compassion, put forth His hand, and touched Him, and said unto Him, I will be thou clean. And as soon as He had spoken, immediately the leprosy departed from him, and he was cleansed. Generally speaking, when we see something, when they're here in this situation, Jesus Christ Himself was moved with compassion. He had sympathy. He empathized. He put Himself in the position of this person that had leprosy. And He realized and knew that I can do something about it. So He was moved with compassion. There is something about compassion that moves into action. Anytime that we see something, whether it's a person on the side of the road, whether it's somebody that the Lord puts in our heart and mind for us to see and us to feel sorry for in some kind of way, we are not helpless creatures. There is something that we can do. We can be moved out of our complacency, and we can be moved to do something by the help of the grace of God. If it's only to pray, Lord, have mercy on that person. Lord, there's nothing that I can do. There's not much that I can do here, but Lord, have mercy. And sometimes, has the Lord ever told you to pray for an individual that you don't know, somebody that you see, you're driving down the road, and you see that it looks like they're bound by maybe a drug habit? Maybe it's something that's very noticeable in their outward appearance. And the Lord tells you, the Lord puts a heart of compassion in you toward that individual. Had you ever thought that that could be you? So there's a need for compassion. Alright? I will hate you. And Jesus moved with compassion, put forth his hand, touched him and said, I will be thou clean. Alright, let's go to Mark 6 and 34. Pray for us.
And Jesus,
when he came out,
saw much people. And was moved with compassion
toward them.
Because they were
sheep,
not having a shepherd.
He began to teach them many things. So what does a shepherd do? A shepherd teaches the sheep, doesn't he? So he looked out and he was moved with compassion. So again, what we want to notice here is that when the scripture speaks about Jesus being moved with compassion, Jesus did something about it. He didn't just look at them, but he did something about it. And so may the Lord help us that we can do the part that we need to do. All right. Another scripture. I'm going to lay down the framework here. 15th chapter of Luke. Let's start reading at the 20th verse.
15 and 20. And he arose and came to his father.
Let's talk about the prodigal son.
But when he was yet a great way off, his father saw him and had compassion.
Father saw him, so he's coming back. He came to himself and he came to the understanding that I've been out here wasting everything that my father gave me. I've been out in sin, in essence, doing what I know I shouldn't have been doing. And now he's starving and he's coming back to his father. He says, I've got to go back to my father. They have bread enough and to spare. And so now he's coming and his father sees him afar off and he has compassion on him. And he ran and fell on his neck and kissed him.
And the son
said unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and in thy sight, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. But the father said to his servants, Bring forth the best robe and put it on him, and put a ring on his hand and shoes on his feet, and bring hither the fatted calf and kill it, and let us eat and be merry. For this my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found. And they began to be merry. Now his elder son was in the field, and as he came and drew nigh to the house, he heard music and dancing. And he called one of the servants and asked what these things meant. What's the occasion for this? Why are they having this music and dancing? And he said unto him, Thy brother is come, and thy father has killed a fatted calf, because he had received him safe and sound. And he was angry, and would not go in. Therefore came his father out, and entreated him. And he answered and said unto his father, Lo, these many years do I serve thee, neither transgress I at any time thy commandment. And yet thou never gavest me a cat kid, that I might make merry with my friends. But as soon as this thy son was come, which hath devoured thy living with harlots, thou hast killed for him the fatted calf. And he said unto him, Son, thou art ever with me, and all that I have is thine. Now I want us to take a look at this. Here is a response, the same scenario with the brother, the son, the father's son. This is the father responds to his son is quite different than the brother's response to his brother. Now, the father had compassion on him. He sees and he realizes that this, and he can read into it, and he can understand that this young man did not know what he was doing, and this young man is to be pitied. And so what he does, he says, I'm happy to receive you. I'm happy to have you back. I'm happy that you didn't stay out there and you didn't die out there. I'm glad to have you back. And we're going to make merry. So this is the father's response. But in the same scenario, the brother's response is quite different. The brother has no compassion on him. He's been out there. He's done all these things. And we just as well cut him off. You didn't do it for me. And maybe he was a little jealous. Maybe he was a little jealous that the father didn't do these particular things for him, and yet he's doing it for the son. Do you know that we can have that same kind of an attitude toward what God is wanting to do for other people? Well, Lord, you didn't do it for me, and I had to kind of struggle through this, and I had to get through it the best way that I know, and now it seems like everybody is just offering all of their gifts to this individual. May the Lord help us that we don't look at it like that, that we don't be as the eldest son. That we be as the Father. Lord, help me to have a heart of compassion. Help me to be compassionate to the people that I come in contact with. Some of the folks, yes, sometimes I've had in my own mind, do you know what? They deserve everything that they get. Have you ever said that about somebody? Have you ever thought in your mind, maybe secretly, that you know what? Well, no better for them. They did all of this, they did all of that, and they put themselves in that position, and now they're wanting everybody to have mercy on them. May the Lord help us. If we're not careful, we'll think that, won't we? And if we're honest with ourselves, we have thought that, haven't we? But you know, those people are to be pitied. Those people need the Lord. If they understood how the Lord saw them, if they understood really the condition of their souls and the condition that they're in, if they understood it like they needed to, they are to be pitied, not to be shunned. Amen. Lord, have mercy on us. All right? Now, I'm going to go to another scripture, Ezekiel, the 3rd chapter. And I want to begin reading. This goes along with it. Ezekiel 3. Verse 1. It is voice in heaven.
Moreover. He said unto me.
Alright, this is the Lord God speaking to Ezekiel. He said unto me,
Son of man, eat that thou findest. Eat this roll.
And go speak unto the house of Israel.
So I opened my mouth.
And he caused me to eat of that roll.
He
said unto me, Son of man, cause thy belly to eat.
Fill thy bowels
with this roll that I give thee.
Then did I eat it,
and it was in my mouth as honey for sweetness. He said unto me, Son of man, go
get thee
unto the house of Israel and speak my words unto them. For thou art not sent to the people of a strange speech and of a hard language, but you're sent to the house of Israel.
Not to many people
of a strange speech and of a hard language, whose words thou canst not understand. Surely had I sent thee to them, they would have hearkened unto thee. But the house of Israel will not hearken unto thee, for they will not hearken unto me. For all the house of Israel are impudent and hard-hearted. All right, now, the Lord gives Ezekiel a message. He says, Ezekiel, I want you to eat this whole roll, and I want you to let it get down and digest in your very core. And I want you, once you have digested and it's become a part of you and you understand it, that's the first thing that I want you to do. And do you know when the Lord tells us, as we reach out to different individuals, the Lord takes us through certain things, and He tells us to eat the very thing that maybe somebody else has to eat. Alright? Something that He requires of us. And most of the time when the Lord deals with us about witnessing to people or talking to people or even having compassion on people, there is some part of that that you and I can feel. There is some experience that we have had that as we think about what that person is going through, we can, in essence, transpose ourselves into that position. That's what being a human is all about. That I can transpose myself into the situation. How would I feel if this person was in this kind of a place? But oftentimes with the Lord, if I was in the kind of a place that person is in, oftentimes the Lord allows us to go through certain things, and we have to digest that, and we have to eat of that roll, if you will, and we have to find the goodness in that, even when there are some times that there doesn't appear to be any goodness in it whatsoever. We've got to find the goodness in that, and once we have found the goodness in that, that's what gives us the ability to empathize with someone else that are going through the same things. So he says here to Ezekiel, I want you to eat the whole rolls. I want you to eat what I give you. I want you to eat the word that I give you. Whatever it is that I allow you to go through, I want you to go through it, and I don't want you to complain about it. I want you to find the sweetness in it. Even if you're in your mind, you don't see that there is any sweetness whatsoever. I want you to find the sweetness in it so that when you go and you minister to the other people, you know how to do it. So the Lord wants us to do that. So he said, the first responsibility of a person that is presenting the gospel is to know the gospel for themselves. The first responsibility of you and I, as we go and witness to the people, we can't witness about the Lord's goodness if we don't know anything about the Lord's goodness. Alright? So here he says here, I want you to eat the roll. I want you to eat all of it, and then I want you to go and speak to the children of Israel. Now I'm going to tell you that the children of Israel, they should listen, and they should embrace what I'm saying and embrace what you're saying, but they're not going to do it. Now how would you like to be a preacher, and the Lord gives you His word, and He tells you to go and preach it to somebody, and whoever it is that you're preaching it to, they're not going to hear you. They're hard-hearted. But I want you to go to them anyway, and I want you to preach it to them anyway. Do you know sometimes the Lord has us do that? Sometimes in preaching and witnessing to those that are out and about, what do they say? Everybody that you've witnessed to, does everybody say, oh, I'm so glad you talked to me about that. I'm so glad you talked to me about the Lord. No, they don't say that, do they? Some people are hard-hearted. Some people find fault with what you're saying. They find fault with the church. They find fault with God. If God is so distant, why did He allow this to happen in my life? If you're so holy, then why are you doing this? And if the church is so right, then why do they allow this? Or why does that happen? And why you've had that, haven't you? This is the same situation, the scenario that is being spoken of by Ezekiel to Ezekiel. But let's drop down a little bit. Let's go down to the 15th verse, 14th verse. Yes, 14.
So the Spirit lifted me up and took me away, and I went in bitterness.
The Spirit took me up and lifted me up and took me away, and I went in bitterness.
In
the heat of my spirit.
But the hand of the Lord
was strong upon me. Then I came to them of the captivity and tilled them. So the Spirit lifted him up and brought him to the place that He wanted him to minister. Alright? And he had in his own mind how he was going to do it. He went in bitterness in the heat of his spirit. I've got a few things that I'm going to tell them. I'm going to tell them what the Lord showed me, and I'm going to tell them in my own way how I feel like they need to go. In bitterness, in the heat of my spirit. In the heat of Ezekiel's spirit here. Alright? Alright? They dwelt by the river Chebar, and I sat where they sat. And I remained there astonished among them 7 days. It came to pass at the end of 7 days that the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, alright, now here is what I want us to get a hold of. The Lord wants us to be in a position where we can feel what other people feel. That we can understand what other people are going through. It doesn't matter that you have the Spirit of the Lord and you have the Word of the Lord, but the Word of the Lord is given to men. And it is ministered by men to men. And so we can have it right. We can have it the way that it's supposed to be. We can be right in our own minds, and we can be right with the Lord. And the position that we stand in and the position that we take can be a very right position. But if we're not careful, we can present it in the way that we feel like it should be presented and not in the way that the Lord wants us to present it. So the Lord sent them, lifted them up, brought them to that place. He set him by that river, and he said, I don't want you to say a word, but Lord, you've given me the word. You've given me something to say. I know I gave you something to say, but it's not time for you to say it yet. And I want you to sit here, and I want you to understand these people, and I want you to watch what they're going through. I want you to watch what they're doing. I want you to see what it is that they have to deal with. And I believe probably the first or second day, he stood there and he said, "All right, Lord, I got this." And the Lord said, "No, I want you to have a complete understanding of these people. I want you to look at what they're doing, their going, their coming. I want you to look at every aspect of their being. I want you to see their life for a little while. And then after you see their life, I'm going to make you sit there for a while. Then I'm going to talk to you again. I know I gave you the word. Now I want you to speak to it. And I want you to speak to these people, to their needs." So do you know, that's how the Lord does us. There are some times that we want to speak. There are some times that we want to tell somebody a piece of our mind. We want to let them know exactly what they did and how it's affecting us, how it's affecting our family, how it's affecting God. We want to tell them that, don't we? And we feel like our positions are the right positions, and God says to us, "I don't want you to say anything." But Lord, you see what they're doing. You see the chaos that they are causing, but I don't want you to say anything, the Lord says. I want you to understand some things, and I want you to realize that I'm having compassion on them, and I want you to have compassion on them too. Because how is the Lord's compassion shown but through His people? How do these people, they don't know what they want. When Jesus was on the cross and He was being crucified, when Stephen was being stoned to death and he saw heaven open up, what did he say? Would his position have been right to say, "You hard-hearted, stiff-necked"? He said that in one place, didn't he? But his position was, "Lord, forgive them. Lord, I'm having to have compassion on them." They don't understand the depths of what they're doing. If they understood it, they wouldn't do it. And so the Lord, in the same way, wants you and I to have compassion. There is a time to speak, and there's a time to be silent. There's a time to have compassion on him. So now when he sees it, he said, "And it came to pass at the end of 7 days that the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Son of man, I have made thee a watchman unto the house of Israel. Therefore hear the words at my mouth, and give them warning from me. Now he already told him that, didn't he? He said, but now you're going to be able to tell him from a different perspective. You're going to sit down, and if I sit down from the vantage point that you're setting, you see me from a different perspective, don't you? So if we sat down and we got, in one sense, I believe, on the same level where we can see them eye to eye, that we can, maybe in some ways, that we can see them walking about, and we're sitting here among them, getting to know them, getting to understand them, and then we speak, we may say the same words, but we say it in a different spirit, don't we? Lord, help us.
Job 2:13. So they sat down with him.
These are Job's friends, heard about his problem that the Lord seems fit to take it through. All right? So they sat down
with him upon the ground 7 days.
7 days and 7 nights.
And none spake a word unto him.
None spake a word unto him.
For they saw that his grief was great.
They saw that his grief was great. Do you know what? We talk about Job's miserable comforters sometimes. But you know, I sense that these men had compassion. Have you ever been to a place of grief? And it seems like none of the words that anybody could say were helpful. Well, the Lord's going to be there. All things work together for good. We have our safe places, and those are true scriptures. The Lord's going to bless you. You just hold on. You be encouraged. And there's nothing wrong with that. I'm not saying that those things are wrong. What I'm saying is that sometimes all we need to do is just sit down. And don't say anything. Just have the compassion on them, because you see that their grief is great. and you don't know the words to say, but you're just there. If you need me, if you want to talk, then I'm available. But right now, I want to empathize and sympathize and enter into your pain. I want you to understand that I'm doing the very best that I can to understand what you're going through. I may not understand it, but I'm doing the very best that I can do in order to try to understand what it is that you're going through. And I want you to know that I'm here for you. I want you to know that I have compassion on you. And I want you to know that this is what I want you to do for me where I am in your place. So we sit down and we don't say anything, and I don't have the words to say, but I'm here for you. You lean your hand on my shoulder if you need to. You can have me to do whatever it is. I'm here at your disposal, but I want you to know, without words, by actions, show that I have love and I have concern and I have compassion and pity and empathy on what you're going through. Lord, help us to be able to have it more. Help us, Lord. 1 Corinthians 9, verse 19. We're almost finished.
The Lord be free from all men.
The Lord be free from all men.
Yet have I made myself servant unto all.
Made myself servant unto all.
That I might gain the more.
Why did he do this? Paul was in a situation. He had his circumstances were quite. He didn't quite understand about the saints of God. Persecuted them. Then when the Lord revealed to him what was wrong, there was an adjustment. Alright? Read.
And unto the Jews I became
as a Jew.
That I might gain the Jews.
That I might gain the Jews.
To them that are under the law as under the law.
That are under the law as under the law.
That I might gain them that are under the law.
That I might gain them that are under the law.
Them that are without law as without law.
Being not without law
to
God.
Being not
without law to God. But under the law of Christ.
That I might gain them
that are without law.
To the weak.
Became I as weak.
That I might gain
the weak.
I have made all things, all men.
That I might by all men means save some. This.
This I do for the gospel's sake.
That I might be partaker thereof with you.
So
in other words, what you're going through, I'm going to go through.
Yeah.
I'm going to enter in to whatever it is that I need to enter in. Lord, help us. As we examine our lives, I question, I want you to ask yourself, do you feel like you can say this with all clarity, with all sincerity, that you have the level of compassion for your fellow man that you need. The level of compassion for the people that are unsaved that we need. Do we have the level of compassion for those that are sick and afflicted that we need? Do we have the level of compassion that we need for the saints of God? Whatever it is, whatever trial it is that we're going through. This is what causes us to be able to enter into prayer and to be able to pray and to be able to touch the throne of God, because we're moved with compassion. Alright, let's go to talk about Christ for a moment. Philippians 2 and 5, and then someone get us Hebrews 4 and 15. Philippians 2 and 5.
Let this mind be in you.
Let this mind be in you.
Which was also in Christ Jesus.
Being in the form of God,
he thought it not robbery to be equal with God.
Made himself of no reputation.
Took upon him the form of a servant.
And was made in the likeness of men.
And being found in fashion as a man,
he humbled himself
and became obedient unto death,
even the death of the cross.
Wherefore God
also has highly exalted him
and given him a name.
Above every name. Alright, so it says here that he thought it not robbery to be equal with God. The let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. Do you suppose that that had anything to do with Christ's compassion? That he became part of his own creation? That he became like as a man? And that he suffered the things that you and I suffered? And he was perfected through his suffering? Scripture says. Do you suppose that that has anything to do with his compassion when we're going through suffering places of suffering? Do you suppose that that has anything to do with his compassion toward us? Because he was a man just like you and I are. He made himself of no reputation, took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, he went a little further. He humbled himself and became obedient unto death. He had the worst kind of, the most gruesome kind of death. And he could have done something about it. But he entered into our pain so that we wouldn't have to. He took the pain upon himself so that we wouldn't have to. Yeah. Alright? Hebrews 4, verse 15.
For we have not a high priest.
For we have not a high priest.
Which cannot be touched with the feeling.
Which cannot be touched with the feeling of our first infirmity.
But
he was in all points tempted, like as we are,
yet without
sin.
Let us therefore come boldly
unto the throne of grace,
that we may obtain mercy
and find grace
to help
in the time of need. So what we have here, we have not a high priest. We have a high priest that can be touched by the things that touch us. The things that we're going through. The things that sometimes we need somebody to just understand. And it doesn't seem like anybody can enter into the level of compassion that we're needing at this time. Have you ever been in that kind of a place? Right now, I feel like I need a level of compassion, we say. I feel like I need a level of compassion, and I may go to a friend or go to somebody, and I'm having an expectation that they'll feel my infirmity. They'll feel what I'm going through. They'll be able to reach down and have the level of empathy that I feel like I need right now. And it seems like when you go to them, they just don't understand. It seems like they can't get to that level that I feel like I need. We've been there, haven't we? And maybe we withdraw, and maybe we say, I don't know what I'm going to do. But you know, we have a high priest. We have the Lord Jesus Christ that can be touched by the feeling of your weakness. He can empathize with you. He can reach in, and he can sympathize and have pity on whatever your circumstance is. The Lord can do something about it. And he's moved with compassion. He's moved to action. It's not just that he's going to be, oh, I'm so sorry that this happened to you, but there's nothing we can do. Have you ever been in a situation like that? Oh, I'm so sorry, but there's nothing we can do. Is that really a compassion? No, there is something that I can do. And every time that I come, every time you come to a place that the Lord requires you to have compassion on someone else, there is something you can do. You can be moved with compassion. If there's nothing else you can do, you can pray. You can say, listen, I'm going to be praying for that situation. And not just praying, Lord, have mercy, but Lord, enter into empathizing with, enter into as the Good Samaritan did. Lord, help me to do something. Amen. Help me to do whatever it is that I can do to help alleviate this situation. This suffering, Lord, have mercy on me. That's what the gospel message is all about. The suffering of sin. Some folks are to be pitied. And we want to treat him like the older brother treated the prodigal son, his brother. Listen, they put it on themselves. The reason you're in a place like you're in this position is because you put it on yourself. And it's true, they did put it on themselves. But it doesn't keep me from being compassionate. And I believe the Lord had to show this to me. He had to show me that he's compassionate to me. How many times have I gotten myself into a pickle, as they say? How many times have my own oversight or negligence or procrastination or whatever adjective you want to use, whatever it is, what I have done has got me into the place that I do. And do I want you to treat bingo. Do you? I'm using this in general terms. I'm just talking about myself. What do we want? We want somebody to treat us according to our iniquity? No, we want them to treat us according to God's mercy. Have mercy on me, Lord. Have compassion on me. And help me. And so it's our responsibility to do the same to our fellow man. Jesus did it to us. We have not a high priest that cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmity. So in other words, what that scripture is saying is we have a high priest that can be touched with the feeling of our infirmities. Our weaknesses. He knows it. He feels it. He's compassionate toward it. And he's doing something about it. He's made provisions. For whatever it is that you're going through, he's made provisions for you to go through it. We have not a high priest that cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities. It says that he was tempted in all points like as we are, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. So that means everything that I have ever experienced, every temptation, every potential failure, he's felt. Every weakness that you've gone through, he's felt that. He said, yeah, without sin, but you didn't fall, and you don't have to either. He says, let us come boldly to the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy. What do we look for? What do we need in these times? Well, Lord, it's not my fault. No, I need the mercy of the Lord, don't I? Lord, that I may obtain mercy. So how do I do it? I come to the throne of grace. Lord, have mercy on me. I need you to have mercy on this situation that I'm in. I need you to have mercy. Lord, this temptation, this trial, this tribulation, whatever it is that I'm going through, is so great, Lord, that if you don't come to my rescue, I don't know if I can make it. And so we come boldly to the throne of grace. We ask the Lord, Lord, give me the grace to be able to deal with this situation. You have grace available. You know how I feel about this. You know what I'm going through. You know the test that I'm facing, Lord. And you know I need grace, and you know I need your mercy. And Lord, if I'm expecting you to have mercy on me, and I am, then I want my brothers to have mercy on me as well. I want them to have compassion on me. And Lord, not only that, if I have an expectation of you having mercy on me and me getting the grace, then I'm going to ask you to supply the grace that my brother needs while he's going through what he's going through as well. Your grace is sufficient for me. Your grace is sufficient for them. May the Lord help us. And may the Lord help us that we seek the Lord for a greater level of compassion for our fellow man, for the things that are surrounding us. I've come to the conclusion that some people are to be pitied. And the way that I don't get upset at what they've done is to pity. Have you ever said, bless their heart? Look at them. They don't even understand what they've done. And then it gives me the ability to pray for them. Because if I'm feeling a little bit of hurt, or the enemy wants to tempt us with a level of bitterness, my prayer is going to be a little different. When Ezekiel got up and he said he went into bitterness, in bitterness in the heat of his spirit, there's a different way that you're going to respond to a person in bitterness in the heat of your spirit than you are if you ask, you say, you know what, bless their heart. They keep going like this, they're not going to make it to heaven. And I don't want that on any person. And I don't want it on my conscience that I had anything to do with them not making it. So Lord, help me to have mercy on them and help me to sit where they sit for me. Help me to look at it from their perspective for a moment. Help me to look at it that if I was in that place, what would I want me, the person that I am now? If I was there and that was me, what would I want me to do now? And you know what? 9 times out of 9, we're going to say, have mercy on me. Yes, we want to maybe lay down some strict instruction, but you want mercy. And you want compassion. And it's our responsibility to give it to another person. Pray for me. Let us stand. Was there a number called?